Shelsheth, and the returning Ryan Kartner.
Good to be back.
Fresh off his two-week mini vacation slash other hiatus.
Hiatuses?
Is that the plural on it?
Hiatuses.
And a quick shout out to all of our live stream viewers on YouTube, youtube.com/govnc. Thanks for joining us. What's new with everybody?
Well, I have a story for you guys. That just happened today, actually.
Uh-oh.
So let me start off by saying that with this whole story, I fully admit I was in the wrong and I led someone vastly astray today.
Oh, no.
And so this is what happened. It was, although I do take responsibility, I feel in my defense, it was a series of unfortunate circumstances that kind of led me to this, you know, predicament. So after my shift today, I was stopping off at Pizza Pizza to get some fresh za. And the little slices that they had, like, you know, it's touch and go with that. Sometimes
it was fresh at some point. He didn't say it was fresh today.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll get a fresh one. So I was waiting on that. And this lady comes in, you know, all shooketh, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. And she starts asking if anybody knows, you know, the general area. And so I don't, like, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, you know what? It's called get a phone. Like, it's 2018. Like, who needs directions? Anyway, so this other guy pipes up and she goes, oh, well, what are you looking for? And so she starts talking about she needs the eastbound exit on Saint-Laurent. Now, spoiler, there's no really eastbound 417 exit on Saint-Laurent. So anyways, but not cluing into this, I just listened to the guy, like, point out that, you know, the west exit is right there. And so the east exit's got to be on the other side. And to me, like, without thinking, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a general rule, right?
That's a general thing. And then so anyways, like, she starts, like, semi-arguing with the guy, but she goes, like, okay. So, like, me, I was like, you know what? I'll try to be the good Samaritan here. And I said, come here. And, like, I showed her my phone. I was like, kind of mapped it. I was like, see, like, this would be the west exit. And, you know, obviously this would be the east exit, you know, on the other side. So I was so focused on just reinforcing what the other guy had already told her without actually thinking the validity or the correctness of what he was actually saying. And so anyway, she goes, well, now this was predicament number two, or, you know, unfortunate event number two. She was kind of a little bit of a bitch. And so the more she argued with me, the more, you know, naturally you get your backup. So I put my credentials on the line. I'm like, you know, listen, I've been a dispatcher for 10 years, really signing off on the whole thing. I've been a dispatcher for, you know, like 5-10 years. I've lived here all my life. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, and, you know, she's like, well, okay. And so I sent her off on her way, and just the little icing on the cake, I even went up to the other guy. I was like, you know, like, what's this girl's deal? Like, she, you know, I try to help her out and she gives me a hard time. And it took me about a good 30 seconds after she left that there's no eastbound 417 exit at Saint-Laurent. They're both west. There's like a 174 east exit. So anyways, there was the slight admission of guilt. And then I kind of, like, justified it being like, well, she was kind of not great. And I was kind of just backing up the other guy. So my moral of this story is, do we sometimes focus on the wrong thing when we, I don't know, not necessarily overstep, but sometimes we take information, you know, to be gospel just out of almost laziness or almost out of stubbornness, perhaps?
I think it would depend on how much time it would actually take. So if it was something like this where it was, you know, pull out your phone, show them, you know, it's like whatever. But if I had to hand draw a map and be like, well, you gotta go here, go past these things, I might be a little bit lazier with that.
And, I think my laziness came from she wasn't being friendly, so my willingness to help right off the get-go went from about 100% to about like a soft 12% within the first 10 seconds. So I think that's kind of where that went awry. So anyways, this is also my opportunity. Sorry, random old lady, for giving you bad directions. I hope you made it home okay.
Have fun in Toronto. Yeah.
It wasn't there an accident on the westbound 174 exit today?
There was like a vehicle that like rolled. Yeah.
Some little old lady was
she was just trying to cross the road.
I'm gonna not check the news for a few days. Just lay low.
Yeah, it was a tractor flipped over. I think it was just
that was it. Yeah, that made my day fun.
Just made you think of the other incident that you may have created.
Exactly. Anyways, that's my story to share. I thought that was semi-interesting.
So you're saying laziness is the precursor to assholeness?
I think so. I think it plays a factor. I think there's things that cause you to be lazier, when not even just when it comes to helping people. It could just be even social situations where you're taking people's rumors or words, you know, for gospel. I think depending on the circumstances, we're just lazy with our own self-awareness or like thinking whether something's true or not.
It's our attention span now. It's so much shorter. Yeah.
And isn't that essentially how/why all the like, you know, fake news gets spread on social media? It is laziness of actually reading the article and then like checking the validity of it. You're just this seems like a good thing. Vaccinations are the worst. Share. Like,
yeah, that's the birth of the clickbait.
Yeah, it is clickbait, and it's so easy and it's so lazy to like something, to click, you know, to click the like, to click the share button, to, you know, copy a link, whether, you know, or regardless of what it is, or what it has to do with, rather than, you know, like Vishal said, like actually look into the article and think for yourself for longer than, you know, the time it takes for you to scroll past it on your phone.
Speaking of which, make sure you like and share The Open Collar on Facebook.
Yeah, question nothing.
Instagram, Twitter, we're all there. You can follow us.
Question nothing, except us.
This is sponsored by Fox News, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
Corey, actually, you had a fun week, though, didn't you? Ish?
Weekend. Yeah, Summer turned 5 yesterday.
The big and one hand. Oh, 5.
This many
years.
Birthday party was on Sunday. It was a nice rainy morning, early afternoon, but then things cleared up. So good family get together then. And then yesterday with the shit storm that was the rain, made for a nice wet day, but we went swimming, which, so talking about social awareness, and what age do you get when you just don't give a shit about being nude in front of other guys in a change room? Is it like in your 60s, 70s?
No, it's way earlier than that. Like, I think I already hit that point. I'm not blow drying my nuts on the bench or anything like that, but you know, like I can change.
Do you use the low heat setting when you do that?
No, high. Let it roll. Always high.
Got to roast those chestnuts, eh?
Yeah. Oh, they let them dry out. Those guys, they start swinging low at 30.
Because I brought the little guy to change into our swim trunks to go to the pool, and there was like 4 or 5 guys just crowded around, just shooting the shit, talking about the weather, and ain't no pants or underpants or towels to be seen.
Remember, like, if you're like in like elementary school, or like I guess in some cases high school, where like everybody would go to like their little corner locker and like try to change all discreetly and make sure nobody sees.
I still do that. I'm 32.
Corey's in the handicapped bathroom changing out of his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle boxers.
Oh, there's so much more, it's so much roomier in there.
Donatello's got that, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I wear 3 shirts.
while you're swimming.
But yeah, so like, so you're 30 now and you just let your flag fly free, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go waving it around or anything, but yeah, I can change it in public change room okay and like not feel self-conscious about anything.
Just hang out there, take a message, reply to messages on your phone while you're in between underwear.
That's the thing. I don't think like changing or, you know, getting ready to go swimming or getting ready to go to the gym and, you know, changing. It's more the hanging out.
Yeah, this is a morning Fred day, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, how's it
like? I don't want to talk to people while I'm changing. You know, when I'm in the change room, I want to get changed, you know, into my gear or out of it quickly.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I agree.
And then you know what? As soon as we step out of the change room, we can have whatever conversation you want. It's the same thing as when people try and talk
at the urinal. The worst.
Why is that? Is there something that you absolutely need to say right now that can't wait 20 seconds?
At least wait till you get to the sink.
At least
the sink.
Now, do both parties need to be at the sink, or at least one person is at the sink to have the conversation?
I think both.
As long as I'm not peeing, I really don't care.
Okay, so if
you're peeing and they're at the sink? Yeah, I agree. If I'm still at the urinal and they're at the sink, I just wait for me.
I don't want to be talking.
Okay, so scenario: you're one guy's done walking to the sink. As you're walking in, do you start the conversation or do you blow past and hope he doesn't talk to you?
No, because then you're the guy.
No. Oh, sorry. Do you respond to a conversation other than, oh, hey?
So if the guy at the urinal and you're
sink, Ryan, how's it going? And he's
I'm okay because I'm in my sink zone now. Like if you want to talk at the urinal and like I don't see you at the urinal,
okay, you're walking.
I can get away with that.
Okay.
But so if we're both at
the urinal, buddy's at the sink, you're walking to the urinal. Your eyes lock.
God, this is every nightmare scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like I don't want to do that ever.
I don't know. It's just safe to wait until you're both at the sink.
Or just out.
Or you know, just you know, in not in the washroom.
Yeah, literally there's no conversation that needs to happen inside the washroom area that can't happen outside and that can't wait, you know, a minute.
The worst is like I've had bosses and stuff like that too. Like,
where
it's like
you can't not.
But like you get through it.
Oh yeah, and do you give like the one or two urinal gap?
It depends on the spacing.
If there's no dividers,
depends on the. If there's no dividers, there's always the guy who's first up to bat and he takes the middle one. Like out of the three.
Why?
Why?
Why do that to the like? How does he not know better?
Yeah, I don't know. Like he missed on memo, I guess.
That's when you go to a stall.
That's what I'm like, yeah.
Now, the worst one is when you go after someone's coming out that just stung up the place, and you want to be as fast as possible for the next person that comes in, thinking that you're the one that caused the stink.
That's right.
Why? Like this whole podcast is giving me anxiety.
Yeah, I'm a shy bladder person myself. Like, thankfully, where I work, I have like an array of bathroom choices, different levels of the building.
I think we all have like
that bathroom that no one goes to.
That no one knows about.
Oh my god, that secret bathroom is like gold.
Yeah, the secret bathroom, highly underrated.
Yeah, that's the one that that's the one that everyone strives to obtain. But then you always know the one time you find that bathroom, at some point you'll walk in and someone's coming out and you're like, damn it.
Yeah,
the secret is out.
It's like the women's bathroom in the office.
That's right.
And you pay for that right to use it.
Yeah,
pay dearly.
It's like scented candles.
It's like couches.
Yeah,
there's a couch in there.
All right, so I guess now it's time that we check in with Vishal and see what's on V's Tees for this episode of the podcast, sponsored by 80stees.com.
V's Tees. This one is a somewhat of a baseball shirt. I would say it's a baseball shirt and also a bit of a funny one. It says, a BJ is better than a yank. You could have worn that a few weeks ago when you were at the game. You were.
I could have.
It was Jays Yankees, right?
It was, as a matter of fact.
Obviously, there's a second meaning to that, which
I'm not following.
We'll just leave it. Yeah. It's all right. It just means that the Jays are better than the Yankees.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's all it means.
Nothing to read into here.
No.
All right, so that's V's T's for this episode. Visit 80s.com, enter the promo code OpenCaller30 at checkout to save 30% off your purchase. That's 80s.com. Celebrate your inner 80s kids with the raddest retro t-shirts and pop culture gear. I don't really have a main topic of discussion for this evening, but I have a bunch of stuff we didn't get to last week, and Comic-Con just wrapped up, so we can start there. Anything of interest that you saw? I thought it was a pretty lame duck Comic-Con for 2018.
I thought so too. I did see a couple of trailers that I'm interested in, kind of optimistic for.
Which ones specifically?
Well, the Aquaman one. I don't have a lot of crazy high hopes, just DC, ruining stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm optimistic about it. I'm hoping that it'll be more Wonder Woman-y and less Justice League-y. But obviously, you can't tell from the trailer. Obviously, they're going to show things. Justice League trailer looked pretty good too, and we know how that turned out. So that one, I guess that's it for trailers. Some TV shows that I haven't watched the trailers for, but I'm kind of excited for. What's it called? The Disenchanted Life? Disenchantment?
Oh, Matt Groening's new show?
Yeah. I'm excited to check that one out. And yeah, that's about it. I didn't really, I mean, after the, so last week we discussed what Sony, the new PlayStation and Spider-Man stuff again. That was great. And I think it kind of just went, meh to downhill after that.
Yeah, I think they had their
panel. Strong.
They showed their Venom explained that you can have Venom without Spider-Man. I guess they justified that as to why there's no spider on Venom's chest.
Yeah. So,
all right, okay. Can't really have Venom without Spider-Man, but whatever. And then they announced a couple more characters from Into the Spider-Verse. But yeah, we had confirmation that Andrew Lincoln is for sure done this season of The Walking Dead. They showed their trailer. They showed trailer for part two of the current season of Fear the Walking Dead, which I thought looked pretty cool. There's not much. Again, when Marvel's not doing anything now that they do all their stuff at Disney's thing, no Star Wars, nothing. Oh, well.
Yeah, I was excited for it after last week's show, and then kind of not very.
Yeah, I kept scrolling through thinking that maybe something surprising would come up, but just never did.
Just such disappointment.
But one thing that came up today, I'll jump over to, it's in relation to this, is that there's a rumor going around the interwebs about that I guess Disney may have secretly canceled the upcoming X-Men movies from Fox.
Oh, really?
So the rumor is, because I guess tomorrow is the shareholder meeting where the Fox shareholders will vote whether or not they are going to accept Disney's offer. So once that comes out, they're saying that New Mutants and X-Men Dark Phoenix, there'll be an announcement coming out saying that it's canceled. It says Disney basically has got the deal locked down, and they've been secretly working in hand with Fox with respect to these movies, and that people at both companies want a clean slate, so New Mutants and X-Men Dark Phoenix won't be released. It said that both movies are atrocious, worse than the new Fantastic Four movie, with a bad storyline, bad acting, and that the cancellation announcement will come after this Friday's shareholders vote. Both movies are completed, but are going through extensive reshoots. New Mutants already has had its release date moved twice. So, and then this all rumor also goes on to say that when Disney launches their streaming service and they have then established their new X-Men continuity, that they would then release those movies just as content for their platform. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure I buy this because they were ramping up like with Gambit and everything up until recently. So I know, see what happens. I know if Fox and Disney's merger goes, I can see them hard going after Silver Surfer and Galactus, get that stuff established, especially with the Guardians property, and then branch out from there. So we'll see. Interesting rumor. I like to think it's true. The faster we forget about the Bryan Singer and that stuff, and now we can start.
I agree. MCU. I think just starting fresh is definitely the way to go. I wonder though if they'll need to do any sort of reboot style thing, because X-Men has been, we know most of the people who know of X-Men kind of know the backstory of it all, the mutants and the Professor X. Like, if they have to do movies to introduce them, I feel like that might be a waste of
I can see them doing what they did with Spider-Man Homecoming, is like, you know it, and just go from there. I think the only thing you need to explain is how up until this point did mutants not exist.
Yeah, they'll have to
and figure something out.
Or they could use Infinity War as just like a
the quantum realm.
Yeah, exactly. And just some people came back. Oh yeah, also they brought mutants.
Speaking of Marvel, so over I guess the weekend, Mr. James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 due to past offensive tweets regarding, topics such as rape and pedophilia. Tweets in question were from nearly a decade ago, and at that time, Gunn himself admitted that he was making these comments to get a rise out of people and had already apologized for them. And various celebrities have come out in his defense, and petitions from fans have been circulating. Are we in agreement here that if someone said something a long time ago and has already apologized for and then has been hired after the fact, that going back into the well to find something is kind of outrageous?
Yeah, I'm with it.
And especially, I think the difference between this situation and other ones is that he apologized before all of this stuff came out. It's not like someone dug deep, found tweets from 10 years ago, and then he was like, oh yeah, I'm really sorry about that. But like, he had, he came out in front years ago, and even like, I guess shortly after he tweeted in the first place. So it wasn't a reactionary apology that was, made by, I don't know, so many different examples, but someone gets caught for something and then they're just really apologizing that they got caught.
Because they're in trouble.
Yeah. Whereas he recognized that this was a different part of his life, and that he, was talking about stuff, just like he said, to try and get a rise out of people. He was just starting off as a filmmaker and making, different films with different tones than the ones he's making now.
Mm.
And so that was his kind of persona online. And I don't know, I think that all of us have said or written down or done something 10 years ago that we wouldn't say or do now. And it's unfortunate. And, it was he, in his most recent statement, he was kind of like, I get it. I understand why this had to happen. And not like he's super cool with it, but he's understanding of why it had to happen this way, which really sucks, because it really does seem like he knew what he did was wrong before, apologized for it. Disney hired, I guess Marvel hired him. They must have known a little bit about done.
All that was before his hiring, so
They knew what kind of movies and stuff he had done before that. They still hired him. And then now, because people have dug deep, it's also really frustrating. same thing. I mean, with the Roseanne firing, it was super recent and, you know, pretty different situation. But also, like, how do actresses and directors and all that get fired for saying offensive things 10 years ago or over the weekend? And, you know, the president of the United States gets away with saying different stuff almost on a daily basis. And, you know, we can't do anything about it. It sucks that these celebrities are held to a higher standard than, like, the president of one of the, you know, most powerful countries in the world.
Well, maybe it's because this guy's responsible for Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed.
Yeah,
that's fair.
they were right to fire him.
He actually wrote both of those movies. So,
but you know, it's long overdue. It sucks for sure. I think, you know, I'm not sure how far along they were with Guardians 3.
I read probably, that apparently he handed in his script, so like they have a full script ready to go to shoot starting January. And but I guess if you're Disney now, you can't go back on it. I guess you can't renege now.
No, absolutely, and because I think there's a time they had that window where they could have just stood behind him and said, "Hey, he's apologized. He's a different person. All these other people have not vouched for him, but you know have backed him and everything, and we also back him, and do it that way." But yeah, they can't fire him and then after the fact be like, "Oh, actually, you know what?
Yeah, it's kind of too late now.
Yeah, let's bring him back." Which sucks because, I mean, Guardians was the first of the Marvel, like, MCU movies that had a different tone than any of the other ones.
Yeah, it kind of changed everything.
And it was the first comic book movie that I went into not knowing anything about anything. You know, I never read Guardians growing up. And I think that's what made it really good for me, is that I didn't know the story at all. So it holds a special, plus the soundtrack was
really good.
Just incredible.
And the way I described it to people is that I was thinking afterwards, is like, for some kids, I bet they walked out the same way that like our parents or grandparents walked out of Star Wars back in 77.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they did things in that movie that like you wouldn't expect from like a property like a comic book movie. Like, we're so used to, like, you know, the dark and dreary brooding, like Dark Knight and like even like a Spider-Man 2 or something like that. But yeah, that one was, you know, it was light.
A lot of the X-Men's.
Yeah, especially the X-Men. Well, the X-Men's has gay undertones with the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's really what it's about. It's about being gay. But, back and watch that. Have you thought about not being a mutant?
I think it's an unfortunate situation. It got handled the way it got handled, and it's just kind of
unfortunate.
It's unfortunate for sure.
Sucks. Is it unfortunate?
I think it's unfortunate more than anything.
Yeah. So I never heard of this, but I was reading about it earlier. Everyone hear of Rivit TV?
Rivit?
No. R-I-V-I-T TV. Now, apparently this is a new thing because everything's about crowdsourcing, but it's for TV shows. So this site, you go on there, folks will post free pilots for shows, and you can watch the full episode for free. And then you decide how much you'd pay per episode, from $1.99 up to $5.99. And depending on how much money's raised for that, then they will make more TV shows or more episodes of the show. The current offering right now is a show called Hollyweed. It's by Kevin Smith. It's basically dubbed as Clerks in a Pot Store. But I just thought that was interesting. Yet another crowdsourcing site for content. Like, we don't have enough of the networks charging for individual networks at $7.99 a month. Would you do something like that? Would you watch a show and pay for it? Like, for more episodes?
I don't think I would. I usually watch the shows based on suggestions from other people that I know. I'm pretty lazy when it comes to that kind of stuff, where if I don't like it right away, it's hard with one episode, you know? It's hard to,
so they really gotta hook you.
Unless it's a really good episode, yeah, because there's a lot of really good shows that people give up on because the first two or three episodes, you know, aren't the best. Like The Office, the first season is it's okay. You know, but seasons two and three are amazing. But if you don't get to those seasons, you're gonna be like, yeah, The Office sucks. So it's
I think it's like the binge worthiness of a show. Like, I think what sometimes makes the success of a show, especially in the Netflix era, is if a show has four or five seasons, and it's hard to get into something where you're looking at it and it's one episode, and not only is it only one episode, but it's basically a Kickstarter until you get to see a second episode. So it's like Futures you're paying into to hope you get a good episode, and then when you're pissed off, like, what, you pull out?
Yeah,
it's like
there's a dirty joke there, I think.
No, we don't make dirty jokes on this podcast, Corey.
Not on air. So if a show is not above three seasons, is it not worth watching?
There's like rare exceptions.
In the binge era that we are in.
I think it's hard to get into a show that only has, you know, one or two seasons. I think like Stranger Things is an exception. What do we do when, you know, we see a show that we start to like? What's the first thing we do? We see how many episodes there are, right? We see how many seasons.
That's kind of where I am now. I typically wait till a show gets picked up for a second season before just determining if I'm going to watch it.
Exactly.
Which sucks, because if everyone thinks that way, then it's like not going to get picked up for a second season, right?
Yeah, well, it goes back to the laziness debate. It's like this weird cycle.
That's why you don't look at ratings. You look at live plus seven. So that's live ratings plus the 7 days worth of people PVRing.
Live plus seven.
That's what they do now.
So how are we doing on the live plus seven?
I don't want to get into it.
Excellent.
That being said, like, you have Disney's model of TV shows back in the 90s was a 65 episode first season, and then depending on how many they aired during that 1 year, they would do maybe one or two more. So you could have like 90 episodes of a show that only airs over 2 years.
That'd be
Dark Queen Duck, 65 like episodes for the first season.
I mean, not every show can be a Darkwing Duck.
I think Animaniacs was like, that doesn't really count because they consider their episodes segments as episodes. So there's like 90 for the first season, but there's really like 40 episodes. Yes, no, they all can't be a Darkwing Duck. That's true. I find it funny that Darkwing Duck and DuckTales both had Launchpad, but the creator of Darkwing Duck said they're not in the same universe.
Yeah. Like, how can they
wrap your mind around that? Launchpad exists on both shows. Yet it's the same character, but they don't coexist in the same duck universe.
Soul World.
Disney, the original creators of the multi-universe structure. they just said, trust us, Marvel, we got this.
We got this.
Have you ever seen Darkwing Duck?
Have I ever? So after 10, oh, close to 10 long years, we're finally getting a sequel to Zombieland. All original cast is coming back, and filming is slated to begin in January with an October 11th, 2019 release date. Am I the only one that's excited?
Didn't we already get a sequel, Zombieland?
I like the first one. So yeah,
they were gonna do a TV show after the sequel was delayed.
I'd rather see a movie, I think.
Just a one-off.
It was Adventureland and then Zombieland, right? Were they...
The two are not connected. Two very different movies.
The only thing that connects them is
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind then.
Yeah. Adventureland was the prequel to Zombieland.
I only saw Zombieland, but I was kind of like, because what was Adventureland? Or at an amusement park or something?
Yes. Zombieland is just a comedy with Walking Dead. Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart, and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Adventureland is like, it's kind of like a grungy coming of age Pennsylvania comedy.
It's like super bad, but not funny.
I wouldn't give it super bad.
What? You didn't like super bad?
No, I said I wouldn't even give it super bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the same level, but it's the same general
concept idea. I don't know. I sat through
it. It's all shot the same. Yeah. I've seen it one time.
Yeah, maybe it's shot the same. I think that's the part I can sign off on.
Seem kind of more to it.
I saw it.
You can watch the trailer, get the gist of it, and
move
on with your life.
Yeah. Not a prequel to Zombieland, unfortunately.
So not every movie with land in it is in that universe.
Okay.
Sorry. So Hollywood Land about Rodriguez with Ben Affleck is not related at all. And before we move on to something else, I'll just do a quick thing here. We all know that the biggest movie release this weekend is Mission Impossible, I guess, number 6. Number 482, Mission Impossible Fallout. Anyone checking it out?
I will eventually, not this weekend.
Brian, you a big fan of the Mission Impossible series?
Yeah, I saw the first one when I was like 6. And I saw it with my dad.
So, yes?
We went on my birthday. And it was okay, but like after that, I don't think I saw any of them in like theaters or anything like that.
It came out in 96.
Was it? Maybe I was 8?
Holes in your story, my friend.
Yeah.
You never
was
saw
it. Was it even your birthday?
It was his dad's weekend. He had nothing to do. It was that or actually, sit down and talk and do something with him.
It was that or the dog track.
And we all know what happened at the racetrack, the horse racetrack.
Yeah. Make me read Super Hounds, the ultimate Hounds.
Oh, you're a wit, Ryan, I tell you.
Yes, that's why I keep coming back on the show.
It's the only way we keep you. That's about it. I want to mention this. So Facebook lost $118 billion today.
That's so much money today. Oh my God.
I wonder what that did to the stock price.
Well, it fell 19.5%. So
it was like the biggest.
In history, I think.
And I was reading the last two kind of biggest ones were like Microsoft lost $70 billion some time ago, like in the dot-com boom.
Yeah.
And then I forget who the other one was, maybe Intel. And it was the same, it was like 90 something.
How do you lose that amount of money in one day?
Well, the shares crashed.
Who blew it?
So the shares crashed as
Facebook has not had a good quarter.
Yeah, they announced that their user growth fell a lot after that Cambridge Analytica breach.
Oh yeah, that would do it.
So you know that whole was it delete Facebook campaign that people were doing all over Facebook, and Twitter. So
Facebook digging the grave.
Yeah, 118 billion with a B, just gone.
They'll make most of it back, though.
Should we start like a GoFundMe campaign? help save Facebook. Get Sarah McLachlan on here.
Just like slow motion of like these nerds at keyboards just typing away.
Remember you.
But will we though?
Will we? Please give these nerds a home today for just a cup of coffee.
This programmer
can continue to live in San Francisco.
I thought the best part of the delete Facebook thing was that everyone was just rushing to like use Instagram more.
Not knowing.
It's like, you're still giving Facebook a lot of money.
Spoiler.
Using Instagram.
I just imagine having $118 billion to lose though. That'd be nice.
I'm upset when I lose, a $1.18. No.
On your pizza slice.
What have I done?
My lust, my greed.
Why do bad things happen to good people?
Just have your couch flipped over, cushions everywhere, looking for whatever's in there. Okay, so did I steal anything from Vishal in his talking tech? Or do you not have anything? How's your iPhone experiments going?
Oh, I'm not loving it. I'm gonna run it to the end of the month, but I'm gonna be pretty happy to switch back to Android. What I was gonna talk about though is, I buy and use a lot of technology, like pretty often, and there's one thing that I've been using for almost 5 years now, and that is this little guy, the Google Chromecast, which got released 5 years ago this week. And I got it for $35, and I had to get it from the States because it wasn't available in Canada until months later. And it basically just turns any TV into a smarter-ish TV. And I think it's the thing that I've gotten the most kind of bang for your buck in like pretty much anything. So for $35, $40, whatever it is, I use it every single day, cast YouTube, Netflix, pretty much anything, music. I think the only thing that I sometimes kind of use, but not really, is the Amazon Video, like Amazon Prime Video service. But that one doesn't cast because Amazon and Google have a little thing where they don't like their products working with each other. But 5 years old this week and still going strong as my most used tech for ever, and for a pretty cheap price. And the best part about it is you can start casting something from your phone or your tablet or your computer or whatever, and once it's going, you don't have to leave it on your phone. You can use your phone as, you know, you can still text people, you can play games, you can watch something else if you want, I guess, if you want to do that. And I think that's great. My recommendation for sure. But it was nice to see that it's still going strong after 5 years, because there's not a lot of tech stuff that you can say 5 years later is still running, you know, as well as it did when it came out. That's all.
That's all it. I got. That's it.
That's all I got.
Just want to say that.
Go get the Chromecast.
And I know Ryan kicked off the show, but do you have anything else?
No, that's any more old ladies that you want to
stress off?
Strand.
Stay tuned, though. Stay tuned. Another one.
There's lots of week left.
I don't know. Did you find out where she, like, why she was going, or where she needed to go, or just that was the direction she needed to get?
We got into it pretty fast.
She just wanted to go to Montreal.
Yeah, she just wanted to go east. That's all I know. And I put it in the wrong direction. God, I feel last bad.
Question. Have you ever given someone bad directions on purpose just to get them like off your back about it? Like,
I haven't given people bad directions on purpose. I was like sincere in it. I got like street names wrong and people just kept going, not knowing that the street name I confused with another one that was actually a different part of town.
Yeah. No, but like if you're like walking down the street and someone kind of, you know, pulls up next to you, rolls down the window and says, "Hey, I need to get to so and so," and for some reason you just don't feel like helping, and you're like, "Oh yeah, you're going the wrong way. It's back there." Like, have you ever done that?
Is like saying "I'm not from here" count as a?
Yeah, I think like if I didn't want to do it, I would like just say "I'm not from here."
Yeah,
I would do that.
Hey, don't sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never done that. I've definitely done the "I have no idea," and then kind of start walking away.
Just like, yeah, but hold on a second, and then just
yeah.
What you need to do is. I think I broke my computer tray.
Oh god.
It's fine. I don't use the keyboard. All right, so let's wind things down here with a story titled Woman Attacked by Dingoes While Eating a Sandwich.
Didn't we just hear that story from Ryan? Oh, no, that was
yeah, different.
I will say this, though. I love sandwiches, and this would be, like, this would probably put me off sandwiches.
All right, let's hear this.
Oh, it gets interesting in the middle. An Australian woman thought she was a goner when she was viciously mauled by a pack of dingoes, a rare attack that left her with bite wounds all over her body and an ankle chomped down to the bone. Debbie Rundle was eating a sandwich at the Telfer Gold and Cooper Mine, where she works in the north of Western Australia, when she was suddenly attacked, the West Australian reported. The 54-year-old mom said a young dingo approached her as she was eating her sandwich and grabbed her phone and took off. So she followed it in hopes of getting it back. But when she encountered two other dingoes who immediately began savaging her legs, she said, "They were just starting to bite into me. I was still backing out. They really latched on. They were munching and I was screaming for help. I looked down and I thought, oh my, am I going to die? Are they going to get me down?" Rundle said the dingoes, a type of wild dog native to Australia and close relative to the New Guinea singing dog, lunged at her for no reason. "I just didn't expect it. They're just not like that around the camp normally. The smaller dingo had my mobile phone and the paper towel and just raced off with it." Co-workers rushed to save Rundle, whose right ankle was bitten down to the bone. She was taken to the Royal Perth Hospital and underwent surgery. I'm so grateful that they came to my rescue. There was blood everywhere on the ground, and I just looked at my wounds. Oh, my God. Plastic surgeon said that he's confident that she'll make a full recovery, but she'll need to undergo more surgery on her leg when doctors will take a skin, a vein, and an artery from near her ribs in order to reconstruct her ankle. Interactions with dingoes and people at this mine site happen daily, so we're talking hundreds of interactions a week. None of them lead or ever get to this point. So there was something in this incident. I don't know. That's escalated a little bit, said one of the co-workers. So they played her for a fool.
Classic dingoes.
Classic dingoes.
So they wanted that sandwich, man. They took her phone and everything. Guy's like, "Hey, listen, I want that I want that tuna fish sandwich. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. I'll take her phone. She'll come running after us.
You grab the paper towels."
Well, they were quilted. Oh,
look out. They're ruffled.
That's some quality. Man, if they spill anything in the woods, man.
That's amazing.
All right. So, Ryan, you missed this last week, but since we had a little bit of time, I threw out a bad dad joke to close out the show.
Ooh.
So I have another one here. If everyone's ready, I will begin.
Hit it.
All right. I'm only familiar with a 25-letter English. I'm only familiar with 25 letters in English language. I don't know why.
Boo. I'm logging you out. I'm gone.
Well, that's been fun. Really good show.
See, what made it worse was the screwing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like classic dad. It's like true dad. Yeah.
That was part of the joke.
Hold on, let me start over.
See, when we do the audio version, that mess up's not going to be in there.
Nice. Well, so,
this explanation will still be, but the other part won't.
You take
two. People be like, "What?" So, yeah.
That's all.
All right. That's the Open Caller Podcast for this week. Follow the show socially, facebook.com/OpenCallerPodcast or on Twitter and Instagram at OpenCallerPod and also youtube.com/GoBNC because that just fits. For Michelle and Ryan, this is Corey reminding you to keep it casual.